Hello, this is Reverend Judith Laxer. Thank you for listening to the podcast of our service entitled Sovereignty. Gaia's Temple is happy to offer this podcast as a free service to those who cannot join us in person. And if you feel served by listening and wish to donate to help support our ministry, please push the donate button. We'd be most grateful. Thank you and blessed be. So there are 4 months in the calendar year that don't have Sabbaths within them, January, April, July, and November. And so during those months, we get to hear a bit and explore other aspects of our spirituality that aren't specifically linked to the wheel of the year and the seasons. And today is one of those. And because of Independence Day, I often talk about some aspect of freedom during July. And today that aspect is sovereignty. And I wanted to offer a service on this subject because the experience of sovereignty is such a profound one. And once it is fully understood, and when it is fully embraced, it's a beautiful way that our spiritual values can move from thoughts and feelings and beliefs into actions of manifestation, where the spiritual rubber hits the road, you might say. So first, to the dictionary. As a noun, sovereignty has two different definitions. The first one is, a sovereign is one that experiences supreme permanent authority, especially in a nation or any other governmental unit, such as a king or a queen, or another noble person who serves as a chief of state, so a ruler or a monarch. And then the second definition is a gold coin formerly used in Great Britain. So note that a sovereign is a ruler and a monarch in this context. A permanent authority, not an elected official who is beholden to his or her constituents for a designated period of time. This is a monarch who has supreme power to choose and decide however she decides. And I think the British coin was named a sovereign because of how one can choose to spend it, right? If it's our sovereign, we can spend it however we like. So we have the ability to choose, a nod, so to speak, to the inherent authority in the name of sovereign. That's probably why they call that a coin. But it is more as an adjective, which we all remember from our grammar lesson as a word used to describe a noun, that I want to talk with you about today. Sovereign, one, self-governing, independent, a sovereign state, or state of being. Two, having supreme rank or power, as in a sovereign princess. Of course, in the dictionary it's a sovereign prince, so. Three, paramount, supreme, like her sovereign virtue is compassion. Four, of superlative strength or efficacy, a sovereign remedy. This is the thing that's going to be the cure. And five, unmitigated or undiminished in intensity. She had sovereign contempt for the blatant disregard of the treatment of the marine life on planet Earth. Oops, I went off about my own sovereign contempt. So those are how it's described as an adjective. My favorite synonyms of the word sovereign are these: independent, autonomous, self-governing, free, non-aligned, and self-determining. Now, I'm not so sure about independent because I think we rely on each other in this life. So maybe the word could be interdependent. But I think here it refers to being able to pay one's own way. So it's financial independence, I think it's talking about. And although I know what it is meant by non-aligned, meaning not beholden to anyone else's ideas or agenda, I think it's more the freedom to align how we choose that would make us sovereign, not necessarily remaining neutral, but having the choice about where we want to align. So that's me disagreeing with the dictionary. But autonomous, not controlled by others, self-governing, free, and self-determining, all ring not only true to me, but happy. These are happy words to a rebel soul like mine. So there are many tales about the sovereign goddess who bestows kingship in Celtic mythology and legends. And it's generally understood in Celtic antiquity that the goddess represents the land, Mother Earth, and she chooses her consort, who will rule by her side. And in marrying or sleeping with him, her choice is made. And one such tale hails from England and King Arthur's court. And although it's not specifically about kingmaking, it is about sovereignty. So I want to relay that story to you today. It's called Sir Gawain and the Lady Ragnell. And Gawain is Arthur's nephew, and he is known for his love of nature, giving him also the title the Green Knight. He's known for his gentleness, which does not emasculate him. How about that? And his fierce loyalty to his uncle, the king, including in threatening to kill his own idol, Lancelot, for Lancelot's betrayal and treasonous actions in taking Queen Guinevere as a lover. Because of his loyalty, Arthur bestows some land on him, some of which used to belong to another knight called Sir Gromer, who you can imagine was not very happy that the king just took his land and gave it to his nephew. And in his bitterness, well, you'll see for yourself. So here's the tale. It derives from a poem called The Wedding of Sir Gawain and Dame Ragnell. It's from a 16th century manuscript, so that's the 1500s, and it's currently located in Oxford, England now. And it's retold by Elaine L. Lindy. So I'm using her version of it, even though, of course, I truncated it and changed some of the words to suit, but you get all the high points. So one day, once upon a time, King Arthur was hunting in Ingleswood Forest with his men when a deer stepped into the view. "Hold still, everyone," said the king. "I'll stalk this deer myself." And then holding his bow in his hand and his arrows over his shoulder, the king followed the deer until deep in the forest, he slayed it with one shot. And as the animal fell, a tall figure stepped from the shadows. "How fortunate for me that we meet this way, with your arrow released from your hand," boomed the voice of a strong and mighty knight. "King Arthur, for many a year you have done me wrong. Now it is time to quiet you here." It was Sir Gromer. Thinking quickly, the king said, "To slay me here, armed as you are, and I clothed but in my greens, would give you no honor. And all the knights would refuse to sit by you, and shame would follow you everywhere. Evermore, I'll grant you anything, name it, land or gold, to spare my life." "There is no land and no gold that I desire," said Sir Gromer. "However, I will get what I seek in an honorable way. I'll give you a chance to solve a riddle. 1 year and a day from now, you must appear before me, here in the woods as you are, without friends to come with you and without weapons. And if at that time you are able to solve this riddle, no man will object that I will take your life. But if you answer the riddle correctly, there'll be no battle. You must swear on your honor that you will return in a year and a day, as I have said." "I agree," said the king. "What's the riddle?" "You must tell me what it is that women desire most above all else." "I assure you," says King Arthur, "as I am the true king, that I will come again in 1 year and a day and bring you the answer that you seek." And so Sir Gromer left, and the king blew his bugle, and his hunting companions found him with the slain deer at his feet. And yet rather than finding their ruler in good spirits, as they had expected, his companions saw heaviness in their king's face, and they realized that some disturbance must have come about. But when they asked what could be the matter, he would not say. Only to his nephew, the gentle Sir Gawain, did King Arthur share what had really taken place. "Sir, be of good cheer," said the youthful knight, after he had heard full through the demand of Sir Gromer. "Let's ready your horse, and together we'll ride into one country after another. Wherever we go, we will ask every man and every woman for the correct answer until we find it." And so the king and his nephew, Sir Gawain, rode away, and everywhere they inquired what it is that women desire above all else. And all the people who answered were certain their answer was correct, yet each answer was different. Some said women love to be well adorned. Others said they must not be scorned. Some women said they want a husband who is handsome and strong. Some said they want a man who will not prove them wrong. And so King Arthur and Sir Gawain collected many an answer, none that seemed right. And soon, only 1 month remained. So back in Ingleswood Forest, King Arthur comes upon a lady, and though she was covered with gold and many a precious stone, she was as foul a creature as any man ever did see. Her face was red, her nose was runny, her mouth was too wide, her yellow teeth were hanging, her eyes were bleary, her neck was too long, and she was shaped like a barrel. "Godspeed, King Arthur," said she. "Speak with me or go, for thy life is in my hands." "What do you mean, lady?" said the king. "What would you have with me?" "Of all the answers you have been told," said the loathsome lady, "none of them will help you. Only I know the correct answer. Grant me but one thing, Sir King, and I shall tell it to you, or else
you shall lose your head. What is it that you seek? Said the king. If I can, I shall grant it. You must grant a certain knight to me to be wed. His name is Sir Gawain. Either I marry the knight Sir Gawain, or you must lose your head. Alas, thought the king to himself, woe is me that I should cause Gawain, my own nephew, to thus be wed. He said aloud, then we must part, lady, but do tell me before I go, what is your name? Sir King, I am the Lady Ragnell. And so they parted, and the king returned to Camelot to the sound of music. And when the music stopped, he arrived in Camelot, where the first man he met was his nephew, Sir Gawain. And the king told him everything except the lady's request to wed Gawain specifically. And Arthur said only that Lady Ragnell will share the secret of the promise of a husband. Is that all? Said Sir Gawain. Then I shall wed her, or else I will not be your friend. For you are my king and my liege. To save your life, my lord, I will do whatever I can, or I would be false and a great coward. So a few days later, the king returned to the spot where he had met the lady, and he told her that she will have her request and marry Sir Gawain. Therefore, tell me now, quickly, my lady, the answer to the riddle. Sir, said Lady Ragnell, now thou shalt know what women desire above all else. Some men say we desire to be beautiful, or that we desire attentions from any man, or that we desire to be well-wed. Thus, these men do not know the truth. What we desire above all else is to have sovereignty, to rule our lives as we see fit, to not be beholden to another. Go forth, Sir King, for now your life is assured. The king rode as fast as he could to meet Sir Gromer. Now here is the answer, said the king. Above all, women desire sovereignty, to rule their lives as they see fit. Who was it who told you this? Roared Sir Gromer. No doubt it was my sister, the Lady Ragnell. May she burn on a fire. Now yet I am compelled to release you, so go. Farewell, said King Arthur. He quickly turned his horse, and sped to the Lady Ragnell to bring her back to the castle for the wedding. And on the evening of the wedding feast, the lady carefully watched her groom. Was he disgusted by her? Would he turn his back and ignore her? But strangely, this he did not do. The knight behaved as if he cherished his loathsome bride. And later that night in their wedding chambers, the Lady Ragnell said, Sir Gawain, now that we have wed, show me your courtesy with a kiss. If I were fair, you would not delay. I pray you do this at my request with all due speed. Sir Gawain said, I will at once, that and more. And when he sped around to kiss his bride, he saw before him not the loathsome creature he had married, but the fairest creature he had ever seen. Aye, he cried out, what are you, a witch? I am your wife, said she, that and securely. Ah, lady, I must not be in my right mind, said the confused Sir Gawain. Earlier today, you were the foulest sight that I ever saw. Pardon me for saying so. And now it seems my good fortune to have you thus. And he rushed into her arms and gave her many kisses. Sir, she said, pulling away for a moment, there is more that you must know. Several years ago, I was deformed by an enchantment by my brother, the terrible Sir Gromer. My beauty, as you see it now, will not hold. You need to choose whether you will have me fair by night and foul by day, or else have me fair by day and foul by night. With the enchantment, it cannot be both. So what do you choose? Alas, said Gawain, this choice is hard. To have you fair by nights and no more, that would grieve my heart right sore. And if I desire by days to have you fair, then nights I'm sure I could not bear. So I must put the choice in your own hands. Whatever you choose as your husband, that choice will also be my own. Mercy, courteous knight, of all the earthly knights, blessed must you be, for now the evil enchantment is released completely. You shall have me fair both day and by night, and ever as I live, I will be fair and bright. For the only thing that could release me from Gromer's spell was if a husband granted me of his own free will sovereignty to choose what I wish for myself. And now, Sir Knight, courteous Gawain, you have done just that. You've granted me sovereignty, that which every woman wants above all else. Kiss me, Sir Knight, now, and pray me be glad. And so the Lady Ragnall remained beautiful all day and all night, and she and Gawain the Knight lived happily ever after. So now, except for the happily ever after part, which we all know is impossible. Some happiness, yes, a lot of happiness, hopefully, but ever after, not so much. But from this tale, we can learn an essential truth, and although we can surely know that it is true for women who for centuries have had their power and choice taken from them, I think it's true for everyone. We all want to be sovereign, to have the power to choose for ourselves. Now, I would be very surprised to learn that anyone here in this temple today was born into royalty. Is there any royalty here? You know what I wrote? React either with congratulations or I didn't think so. So that leaves the rest of us here who were not born into a royal family, and so more likely we wish for sovereignty than we experience it. Most of us spend most of our waking hours not just trying to get ahead, but in just trying to keep up, right? Being sovereign, especially in our unbalanced world, might seem impossible, but it's not. There are a few steps we must take towards sovereignty, but it is possible. And the first step is recognizing this. We have forever tried our hardest to belong, to feel a part of, in many ways just to fit in. You know, I know many pagans, like any other marginalized sector of the population, have had a particularly difficult time blending into the mainstream. We're usually that sore thumb, or we're hiding somewhere. But to become sovereign in today's world begins by embracing our rebel selves and breaking away from convention. Sometimes that means breaking away from everything we've ever known, all that is familiar, what feels safe, and especially from what is expected of us, all the societal expectations. It's risky, for sure, to take a chance and make a change. But if we never break away, we won't find our freedom, and sovereignty will forever elude us. Make a change and break away. Between living well and contentedly, even in hardship, and living poorly and miserably, even with privilege. And it's this. We always have a choice. We always have a choice. We may not choose what occurs, but even then, we have a choice about what we think about it, how we react to it, and what we do about it. We always have a choice. Let's say that together.
We always have a choice.
Oh, it's so, so important. Now listen, although some of our rights and freedoms are becoming more and more tenuous, we are still living in a free country. We have choices. We can educate ourselves, love and or marry whomever we want, Yahoo. We can worship how and where we want. We can speak our truth. We can choose what kind of work we want to do. Now, we might struggle to be successful in any of these arenas, right? It's not easy. But we do have the freedom to choose and then go for them. All of these comes under the self-determining part in the definition of sovereignty. We do have the freedom to self-determine. But our minds are so practiced at limited thinking, we're so conditioned to stay safe at all costs, we become lethargic over time. And then making a change seems like more than we can handle. And then that concretizes in our belief that we don't have choices. Let's break our own spell that we believe we are under, that has us believing we have no choice. Because we do. We can be sovereign by merely changing our consciousness. Eckhart Tolle tells us, the realm of consciousness is much vaster than thought can grasp. When we no longer believe everything we think, we step out of our thoughts and see clearly that the thinker is not who we are. When we get beyond our own limiting thoughts, we'll always find ourselves in the realm of freedom and possibility. And in that freedom, we can remember who we truly are, what we truly want, and then choose it. So let's say something that's happened in your life that derails you. You lose a beloved, you get fired, you get ill, you go bankrupt. You didn't choose to have these things happen. You didn't say, oh, I think today I'll go bankrupt. Right? It just happened. It just did. And now you have no control over it, and you can't get your beloved back, you can't get rehired, there is no cure, and you have no one who can bail you out financially. So it appears you have no choice but to suffer these hardships. And while you may have to endure these hardships, and while they may be the most difficult things you've ever had to endure, suffering about them is a choice. Suffering about them is a choice. You can be with whatever is going on. You can even intensely dislike whatever is going on. But you don't have to suffer about it. You can simply encounter each moment of this hardship as it comes, stay present in each moment, and then move on to the next one. How you react to what happens to you has everything to do with whether you remain sovereign or not. I have a friend who's dealing with a life-threatening illness, and he goes from being very needy and grateful for any help I give him to being incredibly cranky and very rude and a little mean. And I found myself withdrawing from him because he hurt my feelings with his snappish responses to my overtures. And then I felt guilty because he's sick, for God's sake. Where's my compassion? But it was getting to this understanding that turned the whole thing around for me. I realized I didn't want how someone else behaved to change my way of behaving. It's so easy, right? Somebody starts to devolve and you just go along that ride with them. I wanted to remain myself, to act from my sensibilities, regardless of what was happening around me or to him. I didn't want his sharp and nasty comebacks to trigger me in kind. And when I got that I was not going to be influenced by his behavior, that I was not going to align with how he behaves, that I was going to remain autonomous, self-directed, ungoverned by anyone else in all my interactions with him, I became sovereign, and I was free. I was free to help and love and be whatever was needed. I found it easier then to keep pouring out my love for him and to him and to do things for him, even when he was being his most snarky, and he was pretty snarky. I chose my own way of being, even though I have no control over his illness or how he treats me. So you see how that works. We can't always choose what changes and chances befall us, but we can choose how we're going to be about them, and that's what brings us to our sovereignty. We can become sovereign and be as powerful in our own lives as any royal monarch in the larger context. Easier said than done, I know, but it is possible. So if you will, take a moment now, close your eyes, let's go in there. Take a nice deep breath. Reconnect to your grounding core deep in the earth. And bring to mind a situation in your life right now in which you feel powerless. We all have at least one of those. Choose one, though. Take a moment. Think of something that's going on in your life right now that you wish wasn't, something you feel you didn't ask for or choose, something you wish was over and done with. And just take a moment to be with this. You know, so often with difficult or upsetting circumstances, we try to distract ourselves, think of other things. We try to ignore what's going on just to give ourselves an emotional break. But that can bring about another kind of exhaustion. So just for this moment, let the situation come clearly to mind, feel your feelings about it, and in the safety of our temple space, just be with the difficulty of this situation for a moment. Good. Now, in realizing that you have no control over this situation, you also realize that the only thing you do have control over is yourself and your own behavior. So, in thinking about this situation now, ponder how you have been behaving about it. Are you behaving out of anger, depression, sadness? Have you been cranky or mean or impatient? And just don't judge yourself for it. You're human, you can be less than perfect. We're emotional creatures and hardships are, well, they're hard. But just ponder how you've been. And that's good because that's part of the real, you know, that's the reality of it too. So it's okay to be with how you've been. And now, ponder how perhaps you might want to behave with regard to this. Do you want to be angry, depressed, sad, cranky, mean, impatient? And if so, good, you're in your power, completely sovereign. But if in truth you don't want to behave from these less than pleasurable emotions, if you look back at some of your reactions and feel regret, remorse, or even, well, I didn't do that so well, you know, ponder now how you might change your behavior, what choice you might make about how you react to what's going on in the situation. Take a moment now, see yourself engaged in this situation, perhaps with someone involved in it with you, and imagine how you might have a different take on it, how you react differently, more self-directed rather than triggered. And notice in this different behavior that you are more self-determining rather than behaving from old patterns. You're more autonomous than at the mercy of anyone else or anything else, as you picture and imagine how you might make different choices. And imagine now that your consciousness has little hands that reach out and take this new idea, this new behavior, this new ability to choose how you'll react, and those hands bring it easily into itself. So on your next deep breath, it all integrates in your mind and also in your heart. These hands grasp to take it, and they bring it in. Then take a deep breath. And you notice that now you find yourself a little excited to not only see how this plays out in your life, but how you might apply this concept of making your own sovereign choices in any life situation. And then breathe deeply once more and bring yourself back here, this temple space all together. So while we are practicing sovereignty, because it's going to be practice,
it's going to be practice,
as we make our choices about how we're going to be with whatever comes our way, why don't we make not only different choices, but choices that uplift? I don't know about you, but I feel bombarded with all the bad news, right? And for me, the worst of it is what's going awry in nature, extinction, toxicity, pollution, global warming. I need upliftment. So I choose to do things that make me happy. And I don't always get to do things that make me happy, but when I can do something that makes me happy, I do. And you should too. Part of my being sovereign is choosing the things that uplift. Every single chance I get, beauty, magic, creativity, gardening, art, music, and yes, sometimes Haagen-Dazs mango sorbet. Sometimes what uplifts me is saying no to something that I just don't want to do. And then once again, I feel free. Try it. You'll like it. And at the very least, you will decrease the stress in your life. And who doesn't want or need that? Let's sing it together.
Stumble, I will crawl, hang my head against these.
That make you think you are safe, but really keep you in prison. And may you remember to spend your sovereigns and buy your ticket to the Joy Parade, because the choice is yours. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
All right, so we're going to open up the floor now to some community prayers. And so how this works is if you have a prayer you'd like to say, feel free to just speak on out, speak it loud and clear so we know what we're praying for. And when you're finished, say, blessed be, and we'll move on to the next person. And you know, I just see you, Roberta, over there. You had stepped out when we do our prayers. Would you like to offer a prayer for your friend? Now that I put you on the spot? Mm-hmm. Would you like me to do it for you? I don't know her name. But Roberta's a friend of hers and someone that she worked with for the last 2 years, 23-year-old woman, just had a heart attack and died recently. And so we're going to say a prayer for her soul to make it safely to the other side. With our love and blessings. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
All right. So, our next service will be August 9th, as Katie pointed out, not the 24th. Do not come here on the 24th. Come here on the 24th. And we'll thank the fantastic musicians today on piano, Kathy Sestrak. On drums, Simone Drava. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
All right.